Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky, and in 2018, I am joined by two new co-hosts, Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Thank you so much for having me.
Born again, Stewart.
Yes, I regenerated like they do on the show about doctors.
You're shorter McLeod's, than you used to be.
That's right.
McLeod's daughters.
I was going to say McLeod's doctors. But yes, it is great to be here with my doctory pals, Jess and Matt.
Yeah, we're going to solve illnesses.
Yeah.
And mysteries. If you solve an illness, do you cure it or do you just identify it?
No, no, you do both.
You've got tuberculosis, cracked it, move on. And they're like, "Can you help me?" Oh, no, I just...
There's a different doctor for that.
No, I just identified the problem.
Yeah. You are solved. Move on.
Solve illnesses.
We know what you're going to die from.
That's funny. I'm going to call it now. That's my best joke of the year.
Whoa.
Well, as in terms of me laughing.
Wait.
She's gone early.
Wait, so that was intense? I thought you were laughing at the thing you said accidentally, but you said it on purpose and then laughed at how funny it was.
No, I said it like
no,
panicked.
No. She stuffed it up, but she'll still claim it as her best joke.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the process. It's nice to be involved.
Nothing is a mistake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all
lesson
part of
one.
It's all part of the process.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm doing late night radio and I don't sleep much now. And this is the effect.
But you talk on mic all day long.
All day long, baby.
So that's how it comes out so naturally.
I actually had a dream fairly recently that because I had a bit of a sore throat when I went to sleep. And in my dream, they had to remove my throat.
Oh, no.
And then I realized that everything I do is talking. Like, I should actually insure my vocal cords.
Oh my god, 10 million.
We all should. Kim K's done her butt or something, so surely we can do our vocal cords.
Carly's done her butt.
It was terrifying.
Dave, you should have your tonsils done, obviously.
Obviously.
Oh, they're already insured.
And Matt, your big balls should be insured.
Well, don't worry. I've already got the imprint in carbonite.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything happens.
Yep. your loved ones still have your balls.
They'll at least have, you know, something to hold on to.
Was that quite expensive to get done too?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So they have the imprint of your balls.
But don't you also back them up in the cloud?
Yeah, they're backed up. My balls were backed up months ago, so.
You got to back them up every morning.
What?
You can't just back it up and leave it.
Oh.
Your balls change every day, man.
Oh, that's true.
What's happened now? What's happened?
I don't know how we got here.
Yes. Do you want to explain what the show is?
Now, if you haven't heard the show before, what we do is we get given a topic suggested by a listener and we do a report on it and we take it in turns to do that. And it is Jess's week.
It is my turn. And as is tradition, I have not written a question.
Because of tradition.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist.
Hmm.
We've always said that about me, so I'm going to riff one now. Okay, here we go. No mistakes. All right. Whew.
And this one was voted for by our Patreon.
Yeah.
So Jess is now, I've handed her the Patreon reins for a few months.
Yep.
If so, you are a Patreon supporter, you can vote on what you'd like Jess to report on.
Yeah, so every time I'm going to be doing a topic, I'll put it to you and you get to decide. And I should have known that this would be chosen.
Mystery.
Killer.
Oh, both.
Mystery
killer.
Okay. I can do this.
No wrong answers.
Who, here we go, terrorized Wichita?
The Wichita Grub.
For more than 25 years.
Wichita. The Wichita Linesman. That's a song which could be about a killer.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Wichita. Okay, there is not a clue in Wichita.
Witchy woman?
I said there isn't a clue.
Witchy woman.
Witchy, down witchy,
the witch. All right, witchy witch?
Witchy witch.
Is this some sort of, so they're terrorizing, is there some sort of killer?
Perhaps.
Oh, it's not like a Mothman type thing.
It's not a Mothman type
okay, so
thing.
Okay, so it is a killer. Okay, like the big ones are like John Wayne Gacy. I don't know where these people are from. John Wayne Gacy.
The no. Clown Killer.
I hadn't heard. Him? It's three initials, if that helps at all.
Three initials.
Ba, ba, ba.
All the way with LBJ.
Oh. People suggest this. The BTK?
Yes, correct. Killer? The BTK I've never heard of this. Killer.
People often tweet, maybe Facebook message and tweet it, I think.
Right.
Because perhaps people have. I love it when people, this happens quite a bit, especially from American listeners, they proudly tweet in the name of a killer from their state.
Yes, and that is the case.
Oh, is that the case?
Shauna Mallow has suggested this because Shauna is in Kansas, where the BTK killer is from.
Yes, it's. I was thinking of Kansas. Maybe this has only happened once. Someone proudly Facebook messaged me saying that, yeah, it's the... They yeah. terrorized Kansas.
Where I'm from. Well, there's a couple other people that have suggested as well. Sarah Clough and Luke... Zilk, who also emailed in.
Possibly Sarah.
Possibly, yeah. So, BTK killer.
BTK. Oh, so BTK killer, so the K is for someone else. Is K for Kansas?
No.
I actually think it is one of those ATM type things where, you know, you say ATM machine.
Right.
Because is the K for killer?
No. Oh.
Or sort of?
Sort of. I will explain.
Okay, no worries. We'll give it away.
Let's
Brian
go.
Brian the killer.
Brian the killer. Oh, you nailed it in one.
And yet they remained at large for 25 years because really their name was Greg.
That's how they fucking get you.
The police were like, well, I've got DNA matched to Greg, but this person's Brian the killer, so we'll let him go.
See you later, Greg.
See you, Greg.
Sorry.
Sorry about
Can
that.
Can I drive Greg. You home?
What? No, because you've got bodies in the basement. Oh, Greg, you crack me up.
Greg, you are an absolute character.
God, if I had my way, I'd call you Brian. But you're Greg, so you're free.
What?
Pardon?
Have we mentioned it's hot in here?
It's so hot. It's summer. Okay, so on the 15th of January 1974, Joseph Otero, his wife Julie, and their children Joseph and Josephine, not creative, were found murdered in their home on North Edgemore Street in Wichita. The story shook the community because a crime of this nature was unheard of. Joseph and Julie were found in their bedroom. Both had been bound and strangled. Joseph Jr., who was 9, was found in another bedroom, also bound and suffocated. And Josephine, who was 11, was found in the basement hanging from a water pipe. Oh, yeah, I should have warned you, this gets pretty gruesome.
Oh, my God. Dead? Hanging dead?
Oh, yep.
Oh, I was picturing like
me. Oh, no. So maybe she was the lone swinging survivor or something. Yeah.
No, like a noose.
Like she was like, Mrs. Pommel Horse, I'd like to get down now. The Simpsons. Oh, it's not.
No, unfortunately, this child was dead.
Oh.
No Simpsons reference for that.
No. Police and profiles speculated that the killer had spent time watching the house, taking note of the comings and goings of the family and knowing when people would be home. But they had no leads. 3 months after the Otero murders, on the 4th of April, police were called to the home of 21-year-old Catherine Bright, who lived just 2 miles away. Catherine and her brother Kevin had come home and were confronted by a person who'd been waiting in Catherine's closet with a gun. There was a struggle between the attacker and Kevin, who'd struggled free after being bound to a chair. Kevin was shot in the side of the head. The killer thought Kevin was dead, but in fact he was only knocked unconscious after being shot in the side of the head.
Whoa. How old is Kevin?
He's, I'm not 100% sure. I think he's older than Catherine.
All right, so he's not a child.
No, they're like early, late teens, early 20s.
Is this person targeting people, siblings with similar sounding names?
No.
Is that the motive?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for your suggestion.
Okay, I'm just trying to crack the case.
I know.
Apparently he's been at large for 25 years.
Yeah, I know, and you're doing great. Keep those suggestions coming. There's no mistakes. We said that early. No mistakes.
Is it too early to go with mole people? I mean, they definitely have access to that basement.
It's never too early to go mole people. Matt's already gone quiet because he does not like the murdery ones.
No, I'm not a big... Oh, look. You know.
It's because you remember that they're people.
Yeah.
Whereas I just hear like a spooky story, you know?
Yeah.
I forget that they're real people.
So a lot of people have died so far.
Kevin hasn't.
Oh, thank God.
Kevin's fine. I'll tell you more about Kevin. So Kevin came to and he could hear that his sister was being attacked. So he went to help her, but he was shot in the face.
Okay.
So now he's been shot in the side of the head and the face. He stumbles outside.
What?
And he was found by a passerby who called for emergency services. Catherine had been stabbed 3 times in the abdomen, but she was still alive. However, she did unfortunately die later in hospital. But Kevin survived.
He's like the toughest kids ever.
Mm.
Yeah. Kevin survived the attack. So he's shot in the side of the head and in the face, and he lived. But because of the extent of his injuries, police felt that his recollection or description of the killer might not be all that reliable because he probably didn't see all that well. What with being shot in the face. So this is all in 1974, right? So this is early 1974. In the December, the police made a few arrests in relation to the murders, and the media subsequently reported about people being in custody for those murders that had happened earlier in the year. And this is when the police received their first written communication from the BTK killer.
So before this, had they connected the two crimes, or was it two separate murders?
Two separate murders.
Right, because I suppose one's suffocation, one's gun.
Yeah. It's a decent sized city. It's like a population of 500,000. So it's not huge, but it's.
Right, it's not like, you know, everyone's being murdered.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so unheard of that they're kind of going, what's going on here? But they're not really thinking at this stage that.
There's a serial killer.
Yeah. So in October of 74, so just before they'd made these arrests, a man called the Wichita Eagle newspaper and told them that they would find a letter in the
He was called the Wichita
Eagle
newspaper.
He called the Wichita.
A man called the Wichita Eagle newspaper.
He phoned them.
Oh.
Fucking hell. Called them
on
the
telephone.
I was going
to say, that is a fascinating name.
Or he's panicked when giving a fake name.
Wichita Eagle newspaper.
But, sir, that's the name of our newspaper. Gotta go.
Bye. He's looking around. He sees a sign for Wichita. He sees an eagle flying outside. So he called them on the telephone. The newspaper.
Okay, I think I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
He called them on the telephone.
Oh, my God.
Hello on the telephone.
Hello on the telephone. It's me, Wichita Eagle Newspaper.
Oh, hello, Wichita. What can I do for you? Sorry. All right. We'll let this one slide.
He told them they would find a letter in the Wichita Public Library hidden in an engineering book. Police retrieved the letter from the book and determined it was definitely from the person who had committed the murders. Now, the letter described the Otero crime scene in great detail, and only the killer could have known all the details that were outlined in the letter. So it, like, described the house and the crime scene and how they were found and stuff like that. So
curtains were pink. It's him. Only him or an interior decorator would notice such a thing.
It's such a funny thing that the, you know, I guess in a lot of ways serial killers aren't normal, right? Aren't normal
in people. So many ways, in so many man, ways. Yes.
But, like, I would have thought most people's instinct would be to commit a crime and then not to contact the newspaper and the police and make sure everyone knows who you are.
Yeah. Well, in one of the docos that I watched, which this first half is mostly based on because it was really comprehensive, but there was a profiler, and she was talking about the behaviours of serial killers, and she said exactly that. Like, it's actually quite rare. Like, Hollywood makes it sound like serial killers play a lot of cat and mouse with the police, but that's actually incredibly rare. Most of them would sort of commit their crimes and then stay quiet because then they can keep committing their crimes.
Yeah.
Whereas this is kind of different in that they play the game and they want the attention. Right. So he signed off the letter with what would become his trademark, which is BTK, bind, torture, kill.
Oh, the bind, torture, kill killer.
Yeah.
That is a horrific sign off.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
I don't want to turn on this guy early, but I think he might be a bit of a fuckhead.
Interesting.
I will wait till I hear more evidence.
Very good, David.
I don't go early.
He never goes early.
He never goes early.
He never goes early.
Except on Riverdance.
Yeah.
I just knew from the start.
You went early, too you went early. And then, yeah. And our friendship suffered for it.
Hey, we've recovered.
Have we?
We've been through therapy. Yeah. I promise you that when we tour to Dublin, we will all go to the Riverdance.
I can't wait for that.
I will get teary again.
So will I.
We're starting to talk about doing a UK and Ireland tour.
Mm.
Anyway. Do you want that?
Yes. That's why I brought it up.
No, I was asking the listener. Rhetorical. Actually, it's not rhetorical.
I'm pretty sure he knew.
Let us know if you... I know. Of course Matt knew. But
Let
us know, the listener, if you want that.
Let us know, the listener. You calling yourself the listener?
God, this is confusing.
Let me call them on the phone.
Make a phone call on a telephone.
They dialed a number and they picked up.
The recipient of said phone call picked up their receiver and said, hola, and then they said, oh, I'm sorry, wrong number. And then they redialed the correct phone number, and the recipient answered and said, Wichita Eagle newspaper, Carol speaking.
Oh, Carol. Carol, it's, oh, I'm supposed to give a fake name here. Hold on, let me call you back. I'll think of something.
I've probably said too much.
Don't trace this number. It is my actual house. I forgot that you should use a payphone. Oh, fuck.
Gotta go. No.
See ya. Bye, Carol.
So he signed off the letter, BTK, and he also threatened more killings to happen. Police recruited more officers to work on the case, but the trail went cold, and the BTK killer wasn't heard from for another 3 years.
3 years.
Which is also rare that there would be, like, a big gap. In March of 1977, a man approached a child on the street and showed the boy a picture of a person and asked if the boy knew the person in the photo or if that person, you know, lived at this address. And the child said they didn't know the person and they went inside.
Is this Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2?
Yes.
Have you seen this boy?
That's exactly it, yes.
Or the Wayne's World ripoff.
Mm. Which is much the same.
It's actually not Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's...
The guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Ed Harris. No.
Ed Harris?
It's not Ed Harris.
Wrong Harris. Robert Patrick. I meant Robert Patrick, everyone. Yes, I like Terminator 2, but not as much as you, obviously.
Sorry, Robert Patrick. The other Harris, as we call him.
Robert Patrick Harris.
Anyway.
So he said, do you know this boy?
And the child was like, no. And away they went.
Noah.
Lame.
Later, the same man appeared at the door and forced his way into the house. He locked the children in the bathroom.
Is this the boy that he'd spoken to?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, fuck.
The eldest child, who was 8, helped his 6-year-old brother and 4-year-old sister climb out of the tiny window in the bathroom.
So brave.
Mad dog.
Their mother, Shirley Vianne, was found by police, bound and strangled. Like at the Otero crime scene, there was semen left behind, but there was no sign of sexual activity at either of the crime scenes with any of the victims. So police soon realised that this was a sexually motivated serial killer.
Wait, what?
He's jacking it at the crime scene while they're dying.
Ah,
right. What about the kids? What about the 8-year-old? Did he get out?
Yeah, the kids all got out.
That's good, Matt.
That is good.
Kids are fine.
Then, oh, fucking hell. They know. Oh, my God. I had a good feeling because the only way we would have known that the boy had spoken to him before was if he survived.
Yeah.
But I was hoping they all pulled through.
I love when there's details like that. You always do that. You're always like, how do we know that? You get so excited. It's lovely. The best description the police could get from the children, though, was that he was a white man about mummy's age.
Oh.
The children were able to tell police that he had a black bag with him and a gun, which police had suspected because they thought that he had brought his own tape and rope, etc., with him. Like, he's bringing his own tools, I guess. Yeah. So, but that was about it. Like, that was the only sort of thing they could get out of the children, because the eldest one was 8. Like, they're little kids.
Such a sick escape, them getting out.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, and it was a really small window, apparently. Because of the similarities in the crimes, police were fairly confident that the suspect was the same person who had murdered the Otero family, but were thrown off by the 3-year gap between murders. The police made the decision not to give credit to the BTK killer in the hopes that that would make him get in contact with them, because he'd previously wanted credit for his murders.
Right, so had they published that letter earlier? That they found in the engineering.
Nah.
Oh, right. So they didn't.
They haven't published anything.
So the public don't know that there's someone called the BTK.
No. So the public obviously, like, oh, I mean, the news is still reporting on murders happening.
Right. But
keep
no
in mind, there was 2 in 1974. 3 years later, there's another one. Like, it's not. It's still awful, of course, but it's not like it's happening every day.
And they're not connecting the dots.
Exactly. So they're hoping that. So the police are hoping that by kind of not giving him what he wants, that he'll reach out to them. So in December of that year, 1977, a man called the police dispatch and told them that...
A man called the police dispatch?
Jess, have you made up most of these names?
Hello, I am the police dispatch.
Hello, police dispatch.
Table for two.
All right, police dispatch, what time do you reckon you'll need that table?
8 p.m.
Well, that's going to be difficult. We usually have 2 sessions, one at 7 and one at 9:30.
9:30 would be great. Thank you.
Police dispatch, can I have a triple number for that?
No.
911. All right.
You sure I can get you there? Okay.
All right. See you at 9:30.
A man made a phone call to the police dispatch. He picked up his phone. He dialed 911. Somebody picked up the phone and said, police dispatch. He said, how do you know my name?
This is getting weird.
This is spooky. So he called and he told them that you will find a homicide at 843 South Pershing, Nancy Fox. That's all he said. What the caller didn't know was that the dispatch had just introduced a new system, caller ID.
Oh, no, he's used his bloody home phone number.
The dispatcher knew exactly where the call was coming from, and police officers were there within 2 minutes. The call had come from a payphone at a gas station, and when police got there was no one there. Police officers were also sent to the address, so 843 South Pershing. Apparently they weren't told why they were being sent there. They were just sort of, there's been a, a call, just go check it out. So they walked around the perimeter of the property and noticed that a window at the back of the house was broken and a telephone line was cut. And the officers knew that, given recent events, that they were going to find a body if they entered that house.
So they didn't go inside.
They didn't go in. They just...
I don't want to see a body today.
His body.
Yeah.
Like, that woman is both dead and alive, and I'd prefer alive.
All right, see ya. So Nancy Fox, who was a 25-year-old part-time secretary, was found inside the house and she was face down on the bed again, bound, and she had been strangled. So the police turned their attention to the phone call, because, again, there's DNA evidence, but there's no matches. They can't find anything. And keeping in mind it's the 70s, so it's not quite as up to date as we probably are now, obviously. So they turn their attention to the phone call. They had a witness who pulled up to use the payphone, and obviously it was occupied, so they went into the gas station to get change, came out, and the person was gone, and the phone was just hanging from the, what's it called?
The receiver.
Oh, yeah.
It's always left hanging in movies and things.
Yeah.
When they arrive then, it's just sort of swinging in the wind.
Very dramatically left hanging, that's right.
So I guess they're just taking off the thing so no one can call in or something? Or is it just from a struggle? Or
I think it's usually like, be there at 6, and they just drop it and leave. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what happens in the movies. I don't know if this guy did that.
So once again, though, the description was white male, 5'8 or 5'9, light hair.
Mummy's age.
It was a very broad and very vague description, so nothing all that useful. So the BTK killer had now taken the lives of 7 victims, and the police were still struggling for a solid lead.
I mean, there are all sort of different types of people, like a mum, like this is a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if she's single, but, you know, on her own. The first one was a whole family. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's quite a, there's no sort of pattern, and that's something that keeps coming up for them. There was a cool quote from the chief of police at the time was like, the only thing that was consistent was that he was inconsistent. It's like, oh, that's beautiful.
He's like, I wrote that.
I wrote that. My wife thought that was amazing.
Yeah, I practiced that in front of the mirror. She said, chief, which he calls me, which I like, you're going to nail this press conference. And I have until I started talking about this moment. Any questions about the killer?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
The police still hadn't made public knowledge that there was a serial killer in the community. They still hadn't really released that. The following year, in January of 1978, so probably only a month or so later, the BTK killer sent a postcard to the Wichita Eagle newspaper.
Why is he involved? Why are you sending him a...
Why did he send him?
Because they're friends.
All right. A postcard. Wish you were here.
It had a poem called Shirley Locks, and it was signed BTK. It made references to Shirley Vianne and also mentioned Nancy Fox. And the letter never made it to the newsroom as it was sent to the wrong department. They incorrectly thought it was like a Valentine's Day letter or something. So it never...
They published it on Valentine's Day and the love letters with those little love heart pictures. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, no. I sent it to the Valentine's department.
Oh, was that wrong? Just under 2 weeks later, BTK sent another letter, this time to Cake TV, K-A-K-E TV.
That sounds like a community station.
It was like, no, it's one of the biggest stations in the city. Because the Wichita Eagle hadn't published his first letter, the second letter started with a question. How many people do I have to kill before I get some publicity? Creepy.
That's the question you should have started this episode with.
Fuck, you're right. Damn it! I'm not good at this.
I would have said none, Jess. Call the Eagle newspaper.
Yeah.
He'll know what to do.
Just give him your press release. Fuck.
In the letter, he admitted to all of the murders and left detailed drawings and information about the crimes. The chief of police, who I sort of mentioned before, Richard Lemunyan.
I love this chief.
Yeah, he's awesome. He appeared on TV10 News to discuss the crimes and alert the community to the fact that there was a serial killer and that the police did not have a solid lead.
You better believe he used his line. The only thing that's consistent is his inconsistent. Yeah, Chief, you said that
four
times.
That's not helpful, Chief.
You said that 4 times in a 3-minute interview.
He later admits that the press conference was orchestrated to firstly warn the public, but also to encourage the killer to communicate with them in writing rather than sending them more bodies. So, like, we acknowledge you now. Just write to us. Don't kill more people, please.
This is not how normal people talk.
Yeah. Let's use our words, not our bodies. Oh, well, actually.
Body language.
Yeah, sometimes Chief, we can use our bodies.
Chief, you've done it again.
The announcement caused panic in the community, and police were dispatched to homes because people didn't feel safe. So the police encouraged people to call them to come out and do house checks if they, you know, if they got home and something didn't seem quite right.
They encouraged them to call them if they needed someone to do housework.
Just come, you know, I'll vacuum. So they'd check the premises. Of course, they'd check the closets, guns drawn, in order for people to feel safe in their home. So it's really, it's causing quite a stir.
It's basically like a mum or a dad going into a little kid's bedroom. I'll check in the, look, no monster in there.
Yeah,
gun drawn.
It's exactly
like
that.
Like a mum or a dad in America.
Mum would do.
Yeah. Always get your
spoon. See, no monster in there. No monster under the bed.
Don't worry, Timmy. If there is a monster, he's got 3 bullets in his skull.
Okay, night.
Mum, the monster's bleeding. Shut up, Tim.
That's just, the dog was under there.
Yeah. The dog was the monster all along. The monster was within us all along.
So again, BTK disappeared and he wasn't heard from for another year until April of 1979. So on a particular night of the week, let's say Wednesday. I'm not sure exactly what night of the week. I could look up what day. I'm going to look up what day of the week that was.
I'm guessing a Friday.
I forgot a Friday night feeling about this.
Friday night.
Okay, I was going to say Wednesday.
Yeah, you feel that. Also, his name is Robert Patrick.
Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday. Saturday. Saturday.
Normally on a Saturday night, Anna Williams, who was a woman in her 60s, she was always out at some sort of event, let's say a class or a social thing.
Dave, fill in a bit of colour there.
Yeah. What do you reckon Anna would be doing?
Ballet in her 60s.
Okay, yep.
60s
ballet.
She's
doing seniors ballet.
I'm going to say seniors underwater ballet.
Underwater ballet.
On a Saturday night.
Yeah, and pottery class.
Oh, all in one?
Yeah.
God, she's busy.
What month of the year is this?
This is in April.
Ooh, okay, that could be warm enough, maybe.
Oh, outdoor pool, you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Saturday night.
Okay. That's party time.
It's a recipe for pneumonia.
Do you picture the pottery wheels floating on floating devices or on the side of the pool so they do their ballet, then they come potter?
No, I was imagining they would sort of do some potting and then change into their togs in the pool.
Perfect.
One, then the other, not at the same time.
Backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe two groups, they like sort of like tag each other out.
Oh, yeah, that works too.
Because the pool's not that big.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
True.
It's community.
And then they can use the water from the pool to wet the clay.
Yeah. Yes.
And also wash the clay off their hands in the pool.
It gets very clay.
Yeah, it's a very brown pool.
Ballet gets harder and harder, but they really build up their muscles. Resistance training.
Perfect.
Which is what I assume she was doing on a Saturday night when something normal happened.
Well, she would normally be home at the same time. But on this particular night, the 28th of April, she didn't come home and instead she decided to stay with her daughter. When she returned home the next day, her house had been broken into and the telephone line had been cut. She thought it was just a sort of a standard robbery. Obviously, she was a bit like creeped out by it, but she was like, okay, well, I've been robbed. Lucky I wasn't here. Several months later, though, a letter was sent that had some of Anna's personal items in it and some very graphic drawings. Now, in all the interviews on the documentary, they wouldn't explain what the drawings were, but for, like, grown men to be like, oh, it probably wasn't good. The letter asked Anna why she hadn't come home.
And also sent to her.
Yeah, and it implied that she would have been victim number 8.
Months later, she got that.
A couple of months later. So she was really disturbed by the event. Like, all the police were saying that, like, it upset her and, like, obviously made her feel really uncomfortable and unsafe. But, like, all women in the community were feeling really unsafe by that point. Anna was so deeply disturbed by it all that she actually moved into state for fear that the BTK killer would return for her. So she left her home.
I reckon I'd do the same.
Absolutely. Terrifying.
And I'm into that.
And again, with no pattern and no link between the victims, police were completely stumped. So we've gone from a family to a single mum to just a single woman to a woman in her 60s.
Right.
You'd
always be looking over your shoulder though, even if you moved interstate. Like, if this person's that deranged and they want you.
Yeah, why?
But you don't know if they want you specifically or you just happen to be the target that time.
I just wouldn't.
No, exactly. You wouldn't know. So, of course, you would think that.
Is Kansas a nice place, Dave?
I've never heard anything bad about it.
That's where Toto and that's from, right?
Correct.
And also the Chiefs in football? Kansas City Chiefs? I keep forgetting. Every time I ask that, generally.
Look at us like we should know.
Yeah, that's dumb on your part.
Is the capital Topeka? Is that the capital? That's all I know.
Isn't that the girlfriend from Boy Meets World?
Ah, I think it is.
Topanga.
Damn it.
It is Topeka. It's the capital.
And the band Kansas had a hit song with Dust in the Wind, which was sung at Blue's funeral in Old School. You're my boy, Blue. Great tune. Also, they play at the end of Anchorman when the credits roll.
Who is Blue?
Blue's the old fella in Old School.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was a person.
You're my boy, Blue. Yeah, he is a person.
Can I go on?
Please do.
The police then released the Nancy Fox phone call in the hope that someone would recognize the voice, but no one came forward.
The one saying there's been a murder, yeah. Blah, blah.
In the early 80s, a task force was put together to work full-time on the BTK killer case. There were 8 police officers dedicated to the task, and the task force was called Ghostbusters.
No.
Yes.
Are you shitting me?
I'm not shitting you.
Is this before the movie Ghostbusters?
Possibly.
I think it must be, right?
Early 80s?
Oh, maybe it must be a crossover.
It was like 84, I think, this started.
Oh, maybe they were inspired by the movie.
Probably, yeah.
1984 film.
Yeah, there you go. So it was around the same time, so they call themselves Ghostbusters.
It's like naming yourself after a comedy now.
Groundhog Day. That's a...
You think of Bill Murray?
Yeah, Caddyshack.
Okay.
What about
A Bob? Very Murray Christmas.
The Darjeeling Limited.
The Royals. No, the Royal Tenenbaums. All right. Fun game.
Apparently, their attention turned to the letters that had been sent, which were typed on a typewriter. However, the letters were actually photocopies of the originals, and the copier takes a larger image than the original, so therefore they couldn't narrow down the make of the typewriter.
Oh, that's genius.
But with the help of Xerox, they were able to figure out the make of the copier machine and even the roll length of paper, which meant they could narrow it down to a copier in the library of Wichita State University.
Wow.
The one copy.
There was one in Wichita State University and then one at the library, which is where the letter was first
That's good police
stashed
work.
In the engineering.
I was thinking about that with the letter. Obviously no security cameras there.
Yeah.
At a public library. I wonder if that'd be the case now, if they'd be able to figure something out with that.
I think, yeah. I think they could probably... If this had happened today, I think there would have been a lot more... ways for them to find him a lot quicker. So even with the help of Xerox, it wasn't that helpful because the library is obviously quite public and anyone could have accessed it. So it didn't narrow it down. They were thinking maybe is he a student? I don't know. After 2 years and no success, the Ghostbusters task force was shut down, and that was in 1986. About a month later, though, there was another murder. And this time it was a woman called Vicky Wedgerl. Wedgerl? Wedgerl. And the Ghostbusters met and discussed the murder, but they concluded it was not the BTK killer. They were like, not related.
It was too consistent with the other murders to be BTK. Yeah.
Now let's jump forward to March of 2004.
What? What happened in the intervening time?
So that's, 18 years forward?
Yep. The Wichita Eagle received another letter. The letter contained 3 photographs, one of which was a photocopy of Vicky Wedgerl's driver's license, which had gone missing after her murder. The letter had the return address Bill Thomas Kilman, BTK. So that was in...
Also Kilman, he's like, maybe they won't get it unless I put the word kill in.
Yeah. Could have gone for like Kirkwood.
Yeah.
Cronenberg's disease.
Etc. other names ending with K.
Killen.
No, that's similar to Killman.
Killer.
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 There we go. The killers.
Killbot 3000.
So that was March 2004. In December.
So in this intervening time, there'd been no letters or murders?
No. I hadn't heard anything for 18 years.
Wow.
In December, Wichita police received another package from the BTK killer. This time, the package was found in Wichita's Murdoch Park. It had the driver's license of Nancy Fox, which was noted as stolen from the crime scene, as well as a doll that was symbolically bound at the hands and feet and had a plastic bag tied over its head.
Fuck.
In January of 2005, a cereal box was attempted to be left in the bed of a pickup truck at Home Depot in Wichita, but the box was discarded by the truck's owner. It was only later retrieved from the trash after the BTK killer asked what had become of it in a later message. So they're like, I left a cereal box. Why didn't you do anything with it? And they're like, we never got that. In the back of someone's truck.
So weird. Like, how would you think it was going to get found?
Serial killer, serial box, Dave. Do the fucking maths, mate.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. I'm sorry. I don't move as fast as you. You know that, so don't make fun. Just be happy you're good, all right?
Sorry, Dave.
Here we start to get a bit more, like, technology, because obviously we've gone from the early 80s to 2005. So surveillance tape of the parking lot from that date revealed a distant figure driving a black Jeep Cherokee leaving the box in the pickup. In February, more postcards were sent to Cake TV, and another cereal box left at a rural location was found to contain another bound doll, apparently meant to symbolise the murder of 11-year-old Josephine Otero. In his letters to police, BTK asked if his writings, if put on a floppy disk, could be traced or not. The police answered his question in a newspaper ad posted in the Wichita Eagle, saying it would be safe to use a floppy disk. On February 16, 2005, he sent a purple 1.44 megabyte floppy disk to Fox TV, and police found metadata embedded in a deleted Microsoft Word document that was, unbeknownst to BTK, on the floppy disk.
Ha! Holy crap, they're going to get him because of a floppy disk.
The metadata contained Christ Lutheran Church, and the document was marked as last modified by Dennis. An internet search determined that a Dennis Rader was president of the church council. So a little bit of background on Dennis Rader. He was born in Pittsburgh, but he grew up in Wichita. He spent 4 years...
Is this a red herring, Dave? Do you think he left that metadata on there on purpose?
Yeah, because he's just played it dumb by asking, yeah. Have I left some metadata of my friend Dennis on there? Would you think it was him? The answer in the newspaper, absolutely not.
No, we wouldn't. No, for sure. Dennis spent 4 years on at the Air Force and then worked in the meat department of an IGA supermarket. He married Paula Dietz on the 22nd of May 1971 and they had two children. He attended Butler County Community College in El Dorado, earning an associate degree in electronics in 73, and he enrolled in Wichita State University and graduated in 1979 with a bachelor's in administration of justice.
Is that the uni where the photocopier was?
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the similar time. But he started killing when he had a child, which is fucking fucked.
He was a member of the Christ Lutheran Church and had been elected president of the church council. He was also a Cub Scout leader. He was a he worked as a dog catcher in the community.
Several of the dogs were murdered, but no one noticed.
From the Home Depot incident, the police also knew that the BTK owned a black Jeep Cherokee, which I mentioned before.
What?
So when investigators drove past Raider's house, they noticed a black Jeep Cherokee parked outside.
That's our scumbag.
The police had strong circumstantial evidence against Raider, but they needed more direct evidence to detain him. They obtained a warrant to test the DNA of a pap smear Raider's daughter had taken at Kansas State University Medical Clinic when she was a student. The DNA of the pap smear was processed by the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, and demonstrated a familiar match to the DNA on the sample taken from one of the victims. So this indicated that the killer was closely related to Raider's daughter, and this was evidence enough for the police to make an arrest.
I thought this was a mystery episode. Oh, shit!
So the doco that I watched was made before 2005, or it was made, like, it finishes up with them making an arrest, but they're like, oh, they've made an arrest. But it was all pre that.
Oh, cool. We'll link to that.
Oh, fuck. That's awesome.
Hey, didn't you do the maths when she said mystery for 25 years, 1971? That's longer than 25 years ago.
Nah.
That's awesome. That was...
And we just heard mystery. I didn't hear you 25 years. Did I?
That is awesome.
I never actually said the word mystery either.
Fuck.
Let's go back to the tape. Let's restart this.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's so funny.
I think that maybe he says like eluded police for 25 years or something. But anyway.
So who terrorized Wichita Dennis. For 25 years?
Oh, I just assumed that he was caught. But yeah, maybe he could have just died. We will link to that documentary too.
Yeah.
In this episode.
But how crazy is that? That firstly it was metadata in a floppy disk. Also, remember floppy disks?
Yeah, they're the hard ones, right? And the floppy ones are hard disks. The big weird big ones with the holes in the middle that you guys probably don't remember?
No.
Yeah, it's too big.
The real skinny ones.
Who was using those in 2005?
2005.
Dennis, you fuckhead.
Mate, CD-ROM.
Oh, we might have been still at school then.
CD-R.
When you're in year 9.
Yeah.
Using a floppy disk.
I reckon. We definitely did in year 7 and 8.
I don't think floppy disks were used.
They're like the square ones.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was all CDs by that stage, surely.
No. Well, we had floppy disks to like save stuff on at school, though.
Yeah, right. Time's weird, isn't it?
So weird. Anyway.
Did you grow up in the affluent East or not?
Oh, my God.
Doesn't sound like
it. Yeah, I had floppy disks. I had all sorts of different colours, one for each class. Shut up. But and then how cool is it that they, like, use DNA from his daughter? I think that's pretty cool. Oh, that's cool. Fucking got him.
I feel a bit violated as her, but anyway.
Well, I mean, she had a pap smear. That's a violation enough. You guys can't relate. Anyway, so Rader was arrested while driving near his home in Park City shortly after noon on February 25th, 2005. An officer asked, "Mr. Rader, do you know why you're going downtown?" And Rader replied, "Oh, I have suspicions why." Wichita Police, as well as other organizations like the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, they searched his home and vehicle. They seized evidence including computer equipment, a pair of black pantyhose retrieved from a shed, and a cylindrical container. The church he attended.
Pringles can.
His church, his office at City Hall, and the main branch of the Park City Library were also searched. And at a press conference the next morning, Wichita Police Chief Norman Williams announced, "The bottom line is BTK is arrested." Wow. It's really cool.
Is that the same chief?
No, a different chief, because quite a few years later. But the chief says that and everybody just applauds. Like, it's a huge relief in the city. Really cool.
People were going to... So he led a church.
He was president of, like, the church committee.
And he had an office at City Hall.
Yeah, because he worked as a dog catcher and a compliance officer there. So on February... This is, finishing up. On February 28, 2005, Rader was charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder. At Rader's August 18 sentencing, victims' families made statements, after which Rader apologised in a rambling 30-minute monologue that the prosecutor likened to an Academy Award acceptance speech.
Whoa.
Like he was just sort of rambling and it's weird because you see...
Should have played him off.
There's footage of him speaking and he's like, I mean, he's quite eloquent and you probably wouldn't really know just talking to him what he's capable of.
Yeah, I guess if he's been elected the president of the church, he's probably trustworthy.
Did he explain...
Yeah, he talks – well, yeah, he talks a little bit about it, but he also talks about there's not a heap of – I haven't seen a heap of him speaking, and I haven't seen this acceptance speech type monologue, but when he's talking, he talks about serial killers, like as if he's read up on them. It's really interesting just because you're like, no, that's you. Like you're talking right about you there. But he's very matter-of-fact and he's very he's just answering all the questions. It's almost like he was kind of like, all right, you got me. Really strange.
Because he wanted to, like, why was he,
I know,
he kept like, reaching out like he sort of wanted to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, like over a decade had gone past and people had, the case had gone cold. He could have stayed underground.
Yeah. And what's interesting too is like as soon as he was arrested, his wife was given like an immediate divorce. Like none of the paperwork, just nah, you're divorced from him.
Really?
Yeah, which is strange.
Has she spoken about it?
Not that I was aware of. He's got two kids, too.
How would you feel?
Imagine if that was your dad.
Yeah, and it was happening when you were all living together, so yeah. You're going, oh, so he just, that night he went out, oh, fucking
hell. Yeah. Oof. He was sentenced to 10 consecutive life sentences with a minimum of 175 years.
Okay.
Kansas has no death penalty at the time of the murders. And on the 19th of August, he was moved to the El Dorado Correctional Facility. According to witnesses, he talked about innocuous topics such as the weather during the 40-minute drive to El Dorado, but began to cry when the victim's family's statements from the court proceedings came on the radio. So maybe he has some sort of remorse, I don't know. He is still currently in prison, according to what I could find. He's now in solitary confinement for his protection, because I don't think serial killers would be too popular in prison. And he gets 1 hour of exercise a day and showers 3 times a week. And that is his life for the rest of his existence.
Right, and how old is he vaguely now?
Good question. He is 72.
Wow, okay. So he was sort of...
He was born in 45, so the first one, he was like in his 30s maybe? Right. Late 20s, early 30s.
And they didn't get him until he was in his, early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow, that is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, what a story, huh? So that is my report on the BTK killer.
Good stuff, JP.
I
had you hanging there like it was a mystery.
I thought it was a mystery.
And I knew the whole time who it was, but I didn't say it.
Well, you could have stopped a lot of people dying.
I knew the whole time, fuckers.
I knew from the first day.
Yeah. He told me.
I said, shut up, Dad.
Just to clarify, the BTK killer is not my father, John Perkins.
Dennis.
He is a normal human being.
Fuck.
Who's never been to Wichita.
And his name was Dennis.
Dennis. I mean, have a look at him. Like he looks a bit like a serial killer.
Yeah.
Like you can see it.
Totally, but like a lot of middle-aged dads do. Yeah. If you put a serial killer lens on a lot of dads, you're like, oh yeah,
and I think
that man would kill.
Well,
and it's like,
I'm
just a dad.
Any mugshot makes you look like a serial killer in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, anything that's sort of like, I don't know, it's if you're balding, you're more likely to kill.
Sure.
Is that a thing?
No, just, you know, you look like one.
So, yeah, there we go.
Well, thank you so much for all the sickos that requested that topic.
I'm sorry if I missed anyone. If there might have been people who have made suggestions more recently that either in the new hat or we haven't seen yet, sorry. But there you go. That's the report.
That was fascinating.
Thank you so much, Matt. That means a lot to me.
No, I did enjoy that.
I will not kill you. Should we thank some Patreon people and give them serial killer names?
Oh, wow. Okay.
No? Too far? Matt doesn't want to. Never mind.
Something like BTK.
Mm.
No, let's give them nice three-letter, what do you call those things? Initialism names.
Okay.
Is that an initialism?
That's an initialism.
Let's give them initialisms. It's hard to say.
All right. Well, shall I kick?
Please.
Yes, we would just like to thank people through that support the show through Patreon. Patreon.com/dogoonpod. You get stuff in exchange for supporting the pod, including a bonus episode once a month. And soon we are nearly at our monthly goal or our overall goal, which means we'll do 2 bonus episodes a month for our Patreons. And we also like to thank people, so Matt is going to kick us off now.
I'd love to thank, from Maryland, in the United States, I believe, Mr. Aaron Fraser.
Fraser.
All right, if he's the AFM, what does that stand for?
Always Friendly Man.
Yes, oh, that's good. Nice
Aaron Fraser.
That's our Aaron.
He's the best of the best. I'd also love to thank, from Yaguna in New South Wales, Australia.
Yaguna.
Tanya Miles, frequent communicator on the social media.
I seem to remember writing Tanya's Christmas card.
Ooh.
Lucky Tanya. Ooh.
You got the worst handwriting out of all of us.
Yeah, sorry, Tanya.
Tanya, can you read it?
So is that what we're doing? We're going TMY now?
TMY. What do you got there, Bob? The most...
This is my year.
The magic year.
The
magic year. Wow. So Tanya's year this year.
Welcome, Tanya, to your magic year.
Mm. Dave, would you like to thank some listeners?
I would like to thank, from Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma when the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
And I hope I don't mispronounce this name, because I do that a lot on the show. But from Oklahoma, Donk 2015.
Donk.
Thank you, D-O-N-K. Donk 2015.
Okay, so this one's hard because then it's like D-2-O.
We got down T, right?
To...
D-T. Oh, yeah, okay.
Down to...
What's the third bit?
I can only think of one O.
I'm thinking of ostracize, not right. Down to...
Oral.
Down to oral.
No.
DT.
It's a dentist.
It's like the... He's not DTF, he's DTO. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. All right, sorry, Donk, you're DTO.
Donk is great. Here in Australia, where's he from?
Oklahoma, so US.
All right, donk here, I don't know, probably means the same. That means the engine in a car.
I've never heard that.
I did not know that.
The donk.
Yeah, donk. Nice so, donk. Show us your donk.
No, that's not what it is. But you've been lied to.
No, that's true.
No, that's not a thing.
Matt's made that up. I can see his face. You've made good one.
You've made it up.
Nah.
You bloody got me, Matt.
That's stop a muscle, my big muscle
us.
Car engine.
Stop it.
Check out the donk on
you
that one.
You don't have a muscle car.
Check out my donk. All right, I've got one more person to thank. This person, address unknown.
Okay.
Didn't feel like they're,
so
they,
you.
They didn't trust us with their address is what I'm gathering. All the way from who knows where, but we thank her for her support, Abigail Hansen.
Abigail Hansen.
Great name.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm picturing a yodeler.
Mm.
Is that, would that be fair?
Can you give us a yodel again?
Yodel.
It's so much better than you'd expect, isn't it?
It is, actually. So you're saying A-H-U, you want to be unknown?
Yeah.
A-H-U.
Well, the A is clear. It's got to be adult.
Adult hair.
Adult hair. Unknown. Okay.
Whoa, okay. We don't know her hair colour?
Adult.
A happy unicorn.
Happy unicorn.
That
That's
is nice.
Fucking adorable. Okay. Well,
I mean, mine was way worse. A huge underbite. No one wants that.
That's you in dog form, I think. No, that's overbite, isn't it?
Stephen.
Stephen? Isn't that right, Stephen?
It is not right. Thank you. All right, Jess, you got a couple here.
Yeah, I got them. Okay, so I would like to thank from Mount Waverley, which is where I grew up and will be living again soon.
Ooh.
Oh, neighbours.
Magic.
Stephen Edmonds.
Stephen Edmonds.
So S-E-M?
S-E-M.
Still eating
mangoes.
Mangoes, which is a great summary fruit. Yeah.
Delicious.
Still, after all these years.
Still eating mangoes.
Classic Stephen.
Oh, good for you, Steve.
Eating mangoes.
Everything's coming up mangoes.
And I would also like to thank from Hull.
Hull. The part of the ship that is very important.
Don't they call that a donk?
The donk's under the hull.
Oh, sorry,
just everything's a donk to us now. I'd like to thank Coffee Smiles.
Coffee Smiles. This guy's another...
Kofi?
Kofi.
Kofi.
I say Kofi, but...
I would have said Kofi, but I've never heard it said.
Kofi.
He is Kofi. The official face of Hull 2017.
So not anymore.
Kofi, I'm so sorry. He's a great tweeter. We appreciate you a lot.
K-S-H.
And I don't know. Is his last name really Smiles? Because I've seen your profile picture, and you've got a great smile, my friend.
No, I don't think it is. I think that's his...
All right. He's just a great smiler.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is the smile maker.
Oh, that's his Twitter thing, isn't
Keep
it?
Keep smiling happy.
Yes. Oh, Kofi. Coffee.
Keep smiling, comma, happy. Happiness.
Can you think of a better one? Keep smiling. Horror.
Hull.
Yes, keep smiling, Hull. Thank God.
Wait, I used the H from Hull for Hull.
And we've used
that feels like
smiling
a
from smiles. We've changed one
word. We've really ripped you off there, Kofi. Hopefully
Sorry,
that's
Kofi.
Okay. Let us know if that's not good enough. But from my understanding of you as a person, everything is good enough.
I think that will be fine.
You are too positive and always very friendly.
Kick small hippos.
No, Jake.
No, don't kick. Kick,
kiss.
Flip.
Kiss small hippos. Damn it, I'm an idiot. I'm
You're
so sorry.
Too negative.
Kiss small hippos, that's nice.
That's
well,
cute.
Well, I'm thinking of the BTA could have been something nice.
Behind the...
Killer.
Being the...
Killer.
No. Blonde...
The killer.
Nah, that's silly.
Beautiful.
Killer.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, no. Fuck, still a killer. But beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful, this killer.
Yeah, that guy. Nah. He doesn't deserve a happy one, that guy.
Oh, I was going to say big tasty kisses.
Certainly not.
Oh, are they tasty?
Oh, they're big.
Yuck. I don't want big or tasty kisses. Ugh.
Thanks to everyone that supports our show through Patreon. You do make a big difference to our lives. I mean, we can spend more time watching docos on serial killers.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. What a strange career turn you've taken.
Yeah, my parents are very proud.
Yeah. But we do appreciate that. So patreon.com/dogoonpod. And if you want to suggest a killer or any topic that happened in your hometown or anywhere in the world, we now have a form that you can fill out. We should start linking it in every episode. That'd be good.
Yes.
We'll link it in the description of this, or otherwise we have it on our Twitter. You'll see it there. And, yeah, you get to tell us why you think we should do the topic and maybe give us a link to something that maybe made you interested in the first place.
Hmm. This was satisfying. I couldn't handle another
mystery. Like, the man might be still out there.
Yeah, I don't like those.
Do you reckon that lady moved back to the state 20 years later?
Nah.
She was pretty old.
Oh, yeah.
She was 60 in the 70s.
I hope she lived out a great life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That fucking... nah.
Yeah, big tasty kisses.
Anyway,
we'll be back next week with another episode.
There is something I just... because something that I kind of thought maybe is what he was thinking about. Like, that kind of wild serial killer, it's like a banana logic. Don't you think it's like it doesn't fully make sense? It's like it's like his head's bananas. It's banana logic. Don't you think?
Banana the killer.
Banana the killer. That makes sense. He is bananas.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, he's bananas.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. But until next week, I'll say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
She's dead now.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
I've hit record, Matt.
I could be in bed by 10. It's exciting. Hi, future Jess. Love you. You're probably in Sydney.
Hey, you should put this at the end.
Okay.
This will be a fun little bonus bit at the end for everyone.
Can I say a swear?
Yeah, go on.
Dog balls. Oh, I fucked up my chance.
You fucked it.
You could have said any swear.
You could have said any swear. Just gave you permission.
And you said dog balls.
I didn't want to go hard.
Actually, you're the one who said that we weren't allowed to swear anymore.
Yeah.
You fucking
I never said that. You dog ball.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.